Hey, well, good afternoon, everyone. Very long day today. This is the at-large ad hoc working group stewardship of the INA function, and on ICANN. I have met on several occasions earlier, not today, but earlier, the meeting with the GAC. We've heard some of the points of view held on the GAC. And I guess that the first thing we can do is to debrief, perhaps, on the discussions that we've had since. And I wonder whether, Alan, you have heard any further updates about what's been happening on the CC accountability mailing list. I know that you have been chairing meetings most of the days.
So absolutely no clue what's happening on the mailing list. And there were some breakout sessions, informal ones today. I believe there was a work party two over lunch, made in that either. So I don't know, but I haven't heard that anything cataclysmic has happened to destroy where we were. So I am optimistic, and I was just talking to Larry Strickling, who I presume would have heard if anything cataclysmic had occurred, and he didn't seem perturbed. So on that sense, I think it's all going relatively well. We don't have a lot of time today. I don't know what you were planning to do with it, given that we really don't have new events, but I have a proposal. I would really not like to have people make the same arguments they've made. We all agree with them or we disagree with them, and it's not likely to change. In my opinion, people can say what they want. I'd like to talk about if we assume, and it's an assumption, that the membership model is off the table, then I would like to talk about a little bit about what is left and what the variations like, and are we going to have to make a decision on that? Glad to share my personal opinions and there, but I have no strong feelings what we should do. We have, what, 45 minutes?
We have about 45 minutes, yes. Yeah. Thank you very much, Alan. So this session was primarily for an update, but since there is no update, we could just give the floor or speak, and then if everyone's okay with being able to discuss the models, then let's go ahead with it. Start with Sébastien Bachelet.
Thank you very much, Sébastien Bachelet. I think that there are two topics we may need to discuss also. It's what is... if any, our position about stress test 18, and the second, the question of the timeline and how we see this going on, and what is our request to finalize the decision from at large on this topic. Thank you.
Stress test 18, I think, is a good topic.
Thank you. Next is Garth Bruin.
Thank you, Garth Bruin, Neurala Chair. I would like to discuss consumer trust, motion of consumer trust, as it's been laid out.
Garth, next is Shona Jadeji.
Could I ask for a clarification? That's in regard to the accountability bylaw changes? Is that what you're asking, or something different?
Oh, this is only about bylaws?
No, it's about anything associated with accountability, but the only aspect that is on the table is the integration of the AOC into the bylaws.
Well, the AOC contains language concerning...
yeah, no, that's what I'm asking. So that is what you're talking about.
I want to make sure that, yes.
I can give the status of that if you wish.
Thanks for this. Shona Jadeji.
Thank you. This is Shona Jadeji for the transcript record. One personal update I've observed is that every interaction, opportunity to talk with other SOs or Cs, including the board member, which I happen to have participated in, I've made it a point of action to actually ask about the individual board. From all their responses, it seems that there's a level of consensus on the current process that has been defined by the CCW. It's a good progress. One of the things I want to mention, Sebastian have mentioned, so the other one is that I would like us to talk about the HR, the human rights aspects of the accountability.
Can you repeat, please, what was it? Human resources.
Not HR. Oh. Human rights. Not that HR. It's the human rights.
Okay. I was wrong. And Christopher Wilkinson? Mike, please.
Christopher Wilkinson, I was just going to speak to the question of the follow-up to the IAG concern now, or when we take this up with a colleague opposite?
So that goes under the Consumer Trust, Olivier speaking. We have stress test 18, the different models, motion of consumer trust, individual board member removal, human rights, five topics, I believe. Have I missed something? Timing. Please.
Sir, Sébastien Bachelet, the agenda for coming with a solution and how we will be integrated that, and when it must be done, what is the NTA will do, the Congress, and so on and so forth, and when we need to be ready as a CCWD for a proposal. Do we need a third consultation, public consultation? Could we agree with not to have? All that, it's, I think, a very important topic. We need to have some...
Thank you very much, Sébastien. It's Olivier. Six topics, 40 minutes is going to be a bit difficult. That one is one about process. I don't know how soon that discussion will come into... might have to prioritize. But I just start with stress test 18, since there was a question from the GAC to you on this. Alan?
Thank you. Nowhere in the recommendation of what to do because of stress test 18 does it say anything about telling the GAC how to do its business. I really wish you hadn't made that comment. The prelude to the stress test 18 says, what if the GAC changed its definition of consensus to majority? Under the bylaw that is currently being proposed, says that only if the GAC gives advice based on consensus does the board have to enter into its negotiation phase. Consensus is defined by Principle 47 of the GAC. GAC chooses to redefine its Principle 7 to be majority, or if Olivier walks into the room and says, yes, we will all agree, then they change it, and it's consensus, and it meets the definition, formal advice. So although there is a reference to GAC changing their methodology, it's not in the bylaw that was being proposed. Is something that was proposed in the last day, on the very last hour of Los Angeles, by someone, and it never has received any talk again. So as far as I see, no one is telling them how to change their, whether to change their rules or how to change their rules. It simply says that if the rules stay the same, cannot call it formal advice if it met some other definition of other than what they define as.
Depends on whether definition of consensus is. At the moment, GAC's definition of consensus is unanimous consensus. If there is one objection, then it's not consensus.
That's not unanimous agreement. Is somebody proposed it, and no one, that definition the United Nations uses, and that's the definition that...
Correct, yes. So the question, though, is, and I think it is a non-issue, it's Olivier speaking, I believe it is a non-issue, because if GAC was to change that definition, the GAC would need consensus to, as it is, wouldn't it? They have another way to change it.
47, which says someone says it and no one objects, is how the GAC comes to consensus on advice or makes decisions. How the GAC changes its principles is by majority rule at two consecutive meetings. May not make a lot of sense, but that's what it is. You could have a majority who are adamant to do it, and they couldn't be talked out of it. Two consecutive meetings, it would change the principle.
Very much, Alan. Sean Ojedeji.
Alan, I think it seems you have very good understanding of GAC. So I will be asking question relating to clarifying stress. You said the intent of stress test 18 is actually not to tell GAC how it defines or apply consensus. So I'd like to ask you, what's actually... does the CCWG want to achieve by actually putting in stress test 18? What exactly? Please try to be very specific and in plain English, please, so that I can understand. Thank you.
Now, that is a very astute question. And The answer is, to a large extent, I don't have a... We have been told that it is a requirement, unspoken, not written, but an unspoken requirement of the NTIA. What it does do, does have an effect, a potential effect. If the GAC could decide, without changing the definition of consensus, to be honest, would be a bit revolutionary, because it is a definition used within the UN system. If the GAC would decide to call something advice just because a small number of people... Now, if you read the GAC communiques right now, some things are advice, and other things, they have a number of other expressions which are weaker. They're not advice. Okay. If the GAC would choose to call those weaker recommendations advice, they could really tie the board up in knots. The organization unable to do anything, should they choose to do that. As far as I can tell, that's the only real impact. And it's hard to get a real answer because the people who are rules aren't talking.
Now, I did speak to a number of GAC members after some explanation as to the reason. Said it seems to be a requirement for it to actually be. As far as we're concerned, although, and you will have noticed the way that my point of view was referring to the ALAC. So ultimately, it's going to be an internal thing in the GAC, because as far as we're concerned, I don't think we can point in one way regarding stress test 18. Perhaps our only answer could be, well, we want to see the transition take place, want to see the accountability to happen, in which case, if it's required, it's required. In the same way, I guess, that we have said, asked, if it doesn't fly with the board, then it's not going to end that as well. If it doesn't fly with NTIA, it's not going to happen. So I would say we have a queue at the moment. Sébastien Bachelet, Holly Reich. Kylie is looking at me. Is very puzzled. Sébastien Bachelet, you have the floor.
You maybe not remember that on Sunday afternoon, there was a session about the IANA strategy, and it was composed of one speech of IRA Magaziner, and then I will call that roundtable with four men in black on the stage, and all are people working for senators or for the Senate or for the House of Representatives. And I just want to quote, I think it's important to see one of them say, talking about one of the senator, I guess, he wanted to see in the bylaws that only GAC advice by consensus will be considered by the board. And in another part of the discussion, those people say clearly that we are in charge of oversight the NTIA. Then came to ask the following question. If you are overseeing the NTIA, you will have the last word. And they were a little bit troubled. But they say, no, we will not be, but we are overseeing NTIA. Then where it comes from? From the Congress. Yeah, I agree. I guess, yes, and they have too, anyhow. Then it's a request from the U.S. government and from the Congress. I have also made another comment, and I would like to tell you. I say, go to discuss with the GAC and don't ask us to be in the middle. We end user, at the end of the day, we care about our advice, but we don't care about how all that is organized. If you find an agreement with them, good. If not, that's not our work to decide among the government, American government.
Thank you very much, Sébastien. Alan, you had a direct reaction to this?
Yeah, two direct reactions. Number one, going back to your intervention in the GAC, if the board said to us, we will not act on ALAC advice unless you formally decide on that, I would say, huh? Why would I send you something that we didn't formally? So I wouldn't consider that particularly onerous. I'm talking more principles here. But I react to the U.S. Congress issue. My understanding, and I am not an expert on this, is Congress does not have oversight over NTIA. But they
they can stop the NTIA from doing things because they do have monetary over. But let's let the U.S. person tell me.
Yes. Thank you, Alan. Garth Bruin. According to the U.S. Constitution, Congress does have the oversight over all commerce matters in the United States.
May I follow up? My understanding of the Dot-Com Act was that allows them to basically say nothing and let it pass. Stop it, should they choose.
Point. What is difficult is that was part of the discussion. What is the difference between in charge of the oversight? I will stop here because I don't know enough U.S. organization, policy, and so it seems that there is a disagreement between the charge of the oversight of NTIA. It was said by there and the Act who wanted to do something not in the same line with the people in charge of the day-to-day. If I understood well, the one are in charge of the money, the other are in charge of one to oppose the other. Oh, yes, please, and we have difficulty to understand all that.
Okay, thank you. Holly Reich.
Very quickly, people may not realize it, but when we walked in on the GAC meeting, it was supposed to be discussing the stress test 18. Tom was there as an audience because he wanted to see the fireworks. They heard it. And what they decided to do was everyone's going to put on the table, but they could decide what it was. But it has to be text, and it's going to take 1 hour of discussion tomorrow, and my guess is there will be no decision.
Okay, so that was the first one, stress test 18. Don't think we have anything to tell to the GAC. Pretty much following our own advice, we won't tell the GAC what to do on a GAC matter. Quite wise. Next one, we have choice between different models, promotion of trust, individual board member removal, and human rights. Show it in order, different models. Different models being, I think we've pushed aside the membership model, and now it's down to the single designator or the multiple designator or something. Alan Greenberg?
I'm going to write something up on that, so I'm happy to pass that by and simply ask everyone to read what I write. Humor trust may be one we can do quickly.
Thanks very much, Alan. Any objection for consumer trust? No objection. So, Garth Bruin. And Sebastian, do you still have your hand up?
Sorry.
No, okay. Garth, you have the floor.
Thank you, Garth Bruin, Neuralo Chair. I think we can all agree, and please just show some sort of sign if you disagree, that consumer trust is part of the affirmation of commitments, that consumer trust has been part of the CWG development. Consumer trust is part of the requirements by the NTIA for a valid transition. Here agrees that. If you don't, please let me know. Consumer trust is also part of the mission statement for ICANN compliance. Yesterday I had the head of ICANN compliance. He was sitting right over there on that side of the room. And I asked him several questions about consumer trust, and he actually rejected that consumer trust was part of his mission statement. He rejected that it was a critical point in the affirmation of commitments, and he claimed no knowledge of it being part of the CWG. I quoted the mission statement of compliance to him. I asked him three times to confirm it. Said it's not part of our mission statement as a department, as far as I am aware. I am very, very concerned that some folks on the staff level need to be either reminded of this again, or there is an effort to dismiss this concept as we move forward. I think that this is a core tenet of what we're doing here, and we have to make sure that it is accepted at all levels. Thank you.
Very much, Garth, and I hope that our members and able to keep up with the discussions that deal with the replacement of those bylaws. So we'll start with Alan Greenberg and then move to Christopher Wilkins. Alan, you have the floor.
Thank you very much. The AOC has two references to consumer trust in it. One is in the introduction where, and I'm not going to try to give it verbatim, but it says ICANN has an obligation to protect consumer trust in the domain namespace or something like that. Clearly, we only have control over the global domain namespace, not the ccTLDs. It is then referenced to a larger extent in the AOC review associated with consumer trust. The latter part has been transposed virtually verbatim into the proposed bylaws. First little phrase was added in the first proposal to one of the, one of the core values, or was removed from that in the second version because it was believed that the AOC review, ALAC pointed out in our comments that the AOC review is explicitly looking at the enlargement and does not say anything about, you know, for instance, .com. Yet the statement in the introduction to the AOC is a very generic statement in the domain namespace or whatever the right wording is. So we object strenuously to removal of that phrase, and I believe in the current iteration it has been reinstated. So if it has been reinstated as we ask, then it's pretty much identical to what is in AOC, except it is now that core phrase, which is in the mission, becomes part of a fundamental bylaw which requires the community approval to change. So I think we're okay. But it's contingent on that item being fixed, and we're supposed to be reviewing it tomorrow, and I have asked explicitly for a before and after chart to be put up to make sure that we're not missing something. So I believe we're okay if that phrase was reinstated. Thank you.
Much, Alan. I have the affirmation of commitments in front of paragraph, which you were referring to as the beginning of the AOC, is paragraph number 3, and I'll read it to the record. So this document affirms key commitments by Department ICANN, including commitments A, ensure that decisions made related to the global TNS are made in the public interest, are accountable and transparent. B, preserve the security, stability, and resilience. C, promote competition, consumer trust, choice in the DNS marketplace. E, facilitate international parties. The paragraph itself, it doesn't refer to reviews or anything. Reviews are in paragraph 9.1, paragraph 3. Is that the one that you were referring
to? Yes, absolutely. Thank you. And I know that the language is there. I know that the language is everywhere. My concern is that one of the appointed clergy is not reading from the same hymn book.
We do have Christopher Wilkinson. Now let Christopher speak, and then we'll come back to you, Alan.
Thank you. Christopher Wilkinson from the record. The consumer trust and competition label seems to mean different ICANN staff environment. I thought that sometime last year, the coordinating group was set up under the chairmanship of Jonathan Zook to design and prepare an index of by the staff in order to be able to assess in due course the performance of the new GTLD. Those metrics were agreed in the working group, and it was also agreed that ICANN would conduct in order to provide a baseline of the performance of LDs in, under several choice. As an economist, I have found the methodology rather flaky, but I endorsed Dunn as the best of the job that was available, bearing in mind that in terms of implementing the AOC, being said, there are two further developments. Tomorrow morning, starting at 8 o'clock, if you look at the data workshop on competition, and since I participated, hopefully provide us with phrase, is that... phrase which was announced in the board meetings earlier today, is that the chairman of the board and the chairman of GAC will a formal review team on consumer hire. I would be prepared to continue the work. Writing the mandate of such study, that part of the analysis...
Christopher, next is Holly Reich. Thank you. Alan Greenberg.
Just in regard to Garth's comment, I'm not particularly surprised if there are people in ICANN, even senior people, who read all the words properly. One of the whole purposes of this accountability measure is so that if indeed that becomes an obvious fact, post changes, we can do something about it.
Well, the discussion will take place tomorrow then, as you said, so our members should be very much alert to anyone saying that we should not have all of what number 3 of the AOC, quite contrary.
Let's not have consumer trust.
Doesn't go on the transcript. Alan was just being sarcastic.
Okay. My microphone on, so it doesn't count.
Well, you might hear in the background. Right, so next is individual board member. Go into the different models, but you're going to write this thing. So individual board member removal is the next one. Quite extensively in previous meetings. Concerns have been made of turning board members into politicians, etc. But it looks as though the working group has worked towards putting some kind of a method that doesn't allow individual SOs or ACs to their board member out of the board on a moment's notice, because they just felt like it without any reason might have moved. Let's first start with Sean and then Alan afterwards. Sean Ejedeji.
Thank you very much. I think like one of the updates I was given the other time was that all the engagements we've had with the SOs and ACs, including the board member, have actually tried to raise this point of ICCWG. And the response from them, which is an indication that they are actually current process that has been proposed. That does not remove the fact that the appointing SO or AC initiates a company to face that fact. And but personally, I think so long as everybody is fine with it, all the SO are fine with it, including the board, most importantly, because that is the place where I think this process could have impact on. Which is, I think I'm personally also fine.
Alan Greenberg.
Well said. There are people in this group and a few others who are passionately against it for reasons that they believe wholeheartedly. There are others, particularly in the GNSO and probably in other parts of the community, that are just as adamant that the appointing body must be able to remove that person. The board were in that in the former group, and now the people on the board who have been most vocal are saying they're happy with the thing. It may be the one thing that we've largely settled on. Stop talking about it before someone changes their mind.
Thank you very much, Alan. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking. What I have heard that in a designator model, that now, at the moment, in effect, the ALAC and all the appointing bodies to the are designators. We understood as being designators. We all appoint directors, board. We apparently all have the ability to take directors, although it's not printed in the bylaws in any significant way. That's the that's one thing that I've been told about it, but no one has ever even thought about it. And at the end of the day, I think the issue itself might be a non-issue because it's down to renewal. But Alan?
Yeah, we could have the right if it was written in the bylaws, but there is no process in the bylaws today.
There's no process as such, but I've heard. It's another one of these legal things with different lawyers saying different things.
Yeah, no
California law, etc. Yeah. So I don't see anyone putting their hand up. Alan Greenberg's card is up. But nope. Okay. So then we're
Denton,
moving.
For the record, are we ready for beer?
No. We still have
more
one
punishment
more.
Ahead.
One more. Human rights. Human rights, an important topic. I brought this up. It was Sean. So, Sean, could you please take the floor?
This is Sean for the transcript record. I will not claim to follow the working party dealing with human rights very closely. I don't know the current status of where they are right now as to the wordings or the bylaw for human rights. However, from the onset of setting that up, I have that a concern. Bringing in human rights issues. By the way, I'm a fan of human rights. This has nothing to do with the fact that maybe I'm not being civil enough. It's just the role of ICANN. It's technical coordination. I happen to be versed with. Within the numbers community, and in our bylaws, we don't have such provisions. in our bylaws, we don't have such provisions for human rights in our bylaws, and we also note that I don't think ITF has something like that as well. And if we start introducing such at the top level, and such is not reflected or agreed upon by this specific operational community, I think it's going to mean a lot to us, to the internet, and to the role of ICANN itself. There are lots of interpretation that this brings once it is introduced into the bylaw, and I don't know how it can be avoided. So it's my My motion, if this is a motion now, I think we should be discussed. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sean. But let's open the floor. So we start with Harold Arcos.
I'm going to speak Spanish.
I'm Harold Arcos, for the record. I want to share with you what we've discussed in our list. In the field of human rights, one of the proposals, as you are familiar with, is the introduction of this into the bylaws. If I recall properly, there has been some discussion, a legal discussion, on the Californian law that goes against this proposal. So if I may suggest one of the proposals, one of the aspects we should or we might support from ALAC is the actual inclusion of this topic in the bylaws, because we are used to understanding human rights as just a matter for governments within the state. Nowadays, if we are targeting to have a modern current ICANN, we should consider an organization, a corporation responsible for its relations with end users, which is eventually the purpose of our existence here. I think it is an extremely important matter that ALAC should be supportive of. Of course, taking into account this legal dispute, the legal controversy of the fiscal domicile in California, I think this is the proposal we should be promoting. This is what I wanted to contribute. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Harold. Olivier, guide everyone with a bit of background. There is actually a human rights working party that takes place. I was actually part of that working party. I know that Leon Sanchez is involved with this, and there will be a meeting of that working party. Is it tomorrow or the day after? What? Tomorrow. Traditionally, I think the large community has not been against it, or I don't think we've actually discussed it. But the report which Kyla looking at the moment is one which has been released or published recently, will be presented at this ICANN meeting, that ICANN's corporate responsibility to respect human rights. The first draft or a previous draft of this report was presented by the current chair of the GAC, Wolf would probably know more about the thing. So it was presented, the author was, and so on, but it was presented. There was, of course, Nigel Hickson and other ICANN staff were there
actually,
to also acknowledge this.
Just for clarification, Wolf Lutwig for the records, it was an initiative by the Council of Europe. And as you said, it was Thomas Schneider, Lee Hibbert, and I forgot, Monica. Yeah, exactly, who were the authors at the beginning, etc., and then they fueled it in.
Thank you. And the Council of Europe has been taking part in GAC discussions for quite a while and have had a human rights agenda for this. So let's start we'll start with Holly. I'm starting to get a bit tired. So we'll start with Holly and then move on to Alan. Holly Reich.
Point out that the time for the meeting tomorrow, and it's an informal meeting by GSO talking it really was human rights and ICANN. I think what the meeting came to realign human rights relevant to ICANN was privacy, and we all started to get at the Who Is Conflict Group, the privacy proxy, so very much a privacy issue. In the end, it was acknowledged that stuff goes further.
There's Alan Greenberg.
Summarize what I think is the current state. There is no disagreement that human rights should be referenced in the ICANN. There were a number of options provided. They varied based on one says ICANN should human rights, and the other ones cited a number of documents. And there was a pretty strong thought of people that our bylaws should not cite just a bad way of going. The only difference there is at this point, so I think we homed in on the simplest one. The only issue that some people have, and I'm among them, is if we make a global statement that ICANN must respect human rights, now have an IRP
independent review process that allows a group of arbitrators or a group of a panel to question, to decide whether in any given instance ICANN has violated someone's human rights, has violated the bylaws. So we now set up a situation where someone can claim that their human rights have been violated because they weren't given a specific domain name, CLD or something. And panelists are convinced that their human rights were indeed violated. They could effectively change the policy CLDs are allocated. So if I ask for a completely irrelevant Greenberg, and I'm denied it on some terms, and I get the panelists to say, my human rights have been violated because my name is a TLD, that effectively sets a precedent. I believe we need more specific kinds of things it applies to, not the more generic.
Garth Brun, Nirala Chair. Does this concept of corporate responsibility extend to, say, ICANN investing in enslaving children or entering into an agreement with an entity that has a documented horrible human rights?
Thanks, Garth. It's Olivia speaking. I believe you mean with regards to this report. I haven't had a chance yet to read the report. No doubt it will be discussed, and I encourage you to go to that session. And Alan Greenberg?
I don't think the bylaw provision does. You have to go to an IRP, you have to show you have been personally harmed by us having our reserves invested in some company side of what one could not a, you know, I am not a lawyer, certainly not a California. So, but that's my gut feeling.
Alan, and just to make it clear, of course, you're answering with regard to human rights component of the CCWG accountability, which is what we're talking about. And I was just referring the act work by the Council of Europe. These two are, of course, related, obviously, since this is going to give rise to something. And then we'll have Christopher Wilkinson, and I think we need to go with. Oh, and Annette Milberg. Sorry, I did have you. In fact, we'll start with Annette because she was Milberg.
I'm a little surprised about this discussion because actually it was also Ian Wiskak in these issues. And we think, looking at the past, for those who don't know me, I was the former ALEC chair. And so I'm a little surprised, and I think actually we could be happy.
Annette, it's Olivia speaking. The discussion is there are a lot of new people around the table, so and we're not all. Shona Jedeji?
Yeah, this is Shona Jedeji. I want to first say that comments referred to I have actually forwarded to the ALAC. I just want to strike a distinction. I don't know how much support or work ALAC has done in the push for this. And I don't know the rationale behind it. I think there's a difference between privacy and human rights. Need to clarify. I definitely will be in support. So privacy is part of human rights. So when we talk about privacy, we should deal with that separately and not find a way of bringing in human rights. The scope is just so much, and I just think we need to be careful. The more we expand the mission of ICANN, the more we actually add to the fiduciary treaty, and the more we find it difficult for them to be able to respect or get to do what the community wants, because it will be subject to. That's just what I wanted to clarify.
Thank you very much, Sean, and it's Olivia speaking. Having been part of many of these debates at IGF, at regional IGFs, and that's just about opened a box which we could actually spend a few hours discussing. You do wish to miss dinner and anything else. I suggest that we close the meeting after Christopher. Don't see any consensus on the human rights yet. Especially pertaining to the gelled up a little bit more. I know that they are working on this, say it by ear tomorrow. I do note, as Netta mentioned, that the ALAC was supportive, but we have never taken a formal vote on this, as far as I can remember. Alan?
I don't recall us ever taking a vote on human rights. The position on human rights has varied over the years, depending on who has been on the. I don't think anyone has said I'm against it, but how adamant one is in supporting human rights, I think, is varied person to person, but I don't recall a vote.
We'll have Christopher Wilkinson, and then finally Wolf Ludwig, then. Christopher.
Very quickly, to warn you about the presence of a couple of red herrings swimming in this pond. During the early discussions of human rights topic in the CCWG, a question was raised about the human rights of corporations. For those of us who thought that human rights were about human beings, we were a little bit surprised to encounter this argument. I think for the moment it has disappeared or sunk out trace, but I believe the red herring is still swimming around there somewhere. The second point raised was were the human rights of the employees of ICANN itself, and particularly regarding employment rights. Now, I have absolutely no objection to maintaining the appropriate employment rights of the employees of ICANN, but the argument was made that at present the employment rights of the employees can derive essentially from the fact that ICANN is a contract to the United States government. And the question arose as to whether or not when this contractual relationship was terminated, this would affect the employees. I think that's a relevant question for the Human Resources Department within ICANN, but I encourage anybody from allowing it to emerge as a red herring in the bylaws, etc.
Thank you very much, Christopher. Olivier speaking. And I note that in the INA stewardship transition process, the proposal from the IETF, the proposal from the RIRs were rather thin and straight to the point. Hearing what is now being discussed in the CCWG accountability that relates to CWG INA, it seems we're leaving no stone unturned. Wolf Ludwig, you can close the... And then Alan, of course. I can't say no to Alan. Wolf
Ludwig, for the record. Just a short comment, clarification. I remember the early days. And when I suggested in our first year strategy to a sort of a closer cooperation with Council of Europe or European institutions, let's put it that way. And there was, in brackets, human rights mentioned. I was almost killed by the former at-large director, Nick Eschhardt. He wanted to delete it, wanted me to delete it. And I insisted, saying, well, I don't care what you think. For us Europeans, this is an important issue. And I insisted on keeping it in. And over the years, I have faced and lived quite a lot of frustrations here at the ICANN level, at large level, etc. But one of my great moments was when this Council of Europe paper from Thomas Schneider and Lee Hibbert, etc., suddenly got such recognition, not only in the GAC, also in other constituencies. And this was one of the hours of a big progress. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Wolf. Finally, Alan Greenberg.
I just thought I'd add something at the end of the meeting for your either your horror or amusement, depending on how you view things. In light of the discussion we had, there was a really long intervention yesterday in the CCWG on how you couldn't get rid of a director without cause, because you certainly couldn't fire an employee without cause. You would have to go to a tribunal and judge whether, in fact, there was a reason for getting rid of an employee. California is one of the jurisdictions around where you can fire without cause, period.
Right. And
to your horror or amusement, as you see fit.
Thank you, Alan. And with those wonderful words, I think it's time to close the meeting. Thank you. I think our colleagues on the CCWG have a little bit more of an idea of what to go towards. And this call and this meeting is now adjourned. I know it's not the last one of the day, but I will still thank the interpreters and they're at this late hour. Thank you.